For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Michael Oldroyd Comedy Podcast is brought to you by Droid Entertainment. It is an independently produced show, and if you enjoy it, please subscribe. Feel free to write a review of the podcast on whatever platform you use to ingest podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Blueberry,
Spotify,
whatever it is. And if you've done all of these things and you still want to help, then go ahead and just send me some nudes. All right?
Send me money, send me nudes. Don't be a Jew, don't be a prude. Send me money, send me nudes. Don't be a Jew, don't be a prude.
Yeah, I'm actually part Jewish. Now, enjoy today's episode.
As hilarious as that music may sound, it is not how I want to kick off my podcast.
Welcome to the Michael Oldroyd Comedy Podcast. It's going to be so much fun where he makes humor of himself and the many things in New York City. Oh, and by the way, this is not the voice of Bruno.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Michael Oldroyd Comedy Podcast. This is episode 220, the double deucey, the tutui. Good to be here. Good to be here. Hopefully it's good to be wherever you are. Guys, you know, because wherever you are, that's where you are, you know? I think there's a quote, there's a famous quote, wherever you go, that's where you are. yeah. Good, profound way to start the podcast off with some great wisdom, Mike. Talking to myself there. All right, so today is Tuesday, April 16th, it's 2024, in case you were wondering, 4:16 a.m., it's a day after taxes were due, unless you got an extension, which I filed for an extension. Hopefully I did it correctly, been so busy, haven't had a chance to get my taxes done unless I wanted to give myself diarrhea from stress. So I figure, why stress when you can file for an extension, am I right? Anywho, hopefully my tax guy knows what he's doing. I assume he does. That's why we pay him, right? That's why we pay him the big bucks. That's why I pay him much more than any amount that I get back. And it's always like, I could have done this myself. But you know what? Sometimes it's nice to get a professional that does it when you have a complicated set of taxes, you know, and that's where I am. So I filed for an extension. I told you the date. The reason it's 4:17 a.m. is because I woke up in the middle of the night recently, tried jerking off, didn't have much success, so I figured I'd record my podcast because it's been 3 weeks since I did the last episode, and by golly, you deserve more of me. How dare me play hard to get with you and not let, you know, not give you a little bit of juice, you know? Time for Michael Oldroyd to give his listeners some nectar, some podcast nectar, right? Time for you guys to get a little puree for your eardrums, a little eargasm action opportunity. How dare me deprive my listeners of some eargasms? So that's where we are, guys. And this episode today is going to be a little top-heavy in the way that we're going to... It's going to be back-heavy, not top-heavy. So the first two segments are going to be pretty brief. You know, what's going on in the world, what's going on in the comedy world. nothing too crazy with those,
whatever you want to call it. And with that said, let's go ahead and start the fucking thing off with what's going on in the world.
Cut! Oh my gosh, this is exciting! Cut! I was wondering if you happen to know what is going on in the world? What is going on in the world? What is going on in the world? What is going on? What is going on? What is going on in the world? Cut! Cut! Cut!
So, what's going on in the world? Well, unfortunately, I'd love to share better news, but a few days ago, big news, Iran bombed Israel with multiple airstrikes. I don't know all the details. I haven't really sat down and studied it like a scholar, but what I do know is they attempted to send over 300 missiles, I believe they were. And the United States intercepted 99% of these with our drones, and it was considered a failure for Iran's efforts. And I guess they're claiming to have failed on purpose now. So that's what you call bad sportsmanship. Now, obviously, war is not a sport, and there's not anything funny, but if we are using the analogy, right, to lighten it up a little bit just because it's fucking terrible and it's makes it a little more palatable for my listeners since this is a podcast that is supposed to be about comedy, even though there's nothing funny about war once again, you know, when you lose in sports and you go and you shake each other's hands, whether you win or you lose, that's called good sportsmanship. Basically, Iran... in this analogy, is going up, going for the handshake, and then putting the hand behind the hair and going, psych! You know, when they, like, put the hand on the hair, like the fucking bully in school. You know, that's basically what Iran is doing, is they're claiming that they failed on purpose. So, you know, that's, it's kind of like when a guy gets rejected from a chick and then he pretends he's not interested, you know, in the first place. That's all right, yeah, I'm not even into you, you know? I'm not even into you. Nevertheless, Iran guys, they've been behind a lot of the shenanigans for a while now. They finally emerged from the abyss and directly tried to grab the bull by the horns and got ass-fucked. I wouldn't call it being ass-fucked. They just didn't have a successful attempt. And I don't know exactly what Israel is doing in response, but I'm sure that there's some coordinated responses in the works. Israel doesn't take shit from people. That's why they created something called Krav Maga, because they do not allow to be fucked with. So it'll be interesting. I think the United States is in an interesting teeter-totter right now where we support Israel, but at the same time, we don't want to support unhumanitarian counterstrikes. So we're kind of in this, like, PR... we're constricted by the PR aspect while needing to be supportive of Israel. We don't want to enable just brutal violence toward innocent civilians, a.k.a. the displaced Palestinians or the ones that were in, like, Gaza Strip, right? We're kind of trying to play that mediator in between the best of both worlds, again, where we're supportive of Israel, but not enabling, you know, unhumanitarian type deals. I believe that Iraq is somehow part of the equation right now. There's some talk going on with Iraq where we're trying to partner with them in some way, shape, or form, the U.S. So maybe this ties back to the Operation Iraqi Freedom, right? So, maybe Iraq is an ally. I don't know, because I really don't know enough about this stuff to be informed, which is why we're gonna go ahead and move on from this one. How about that, huh? How about we just go ahead and casually put a comb through our hair and say, okay, gonna move on to the next thing now.
That's what we're going to do. So, yeah. The markets have been down the last week or two, maybe even a little longer, which is not good for my erections. I am not jazzed. I've been trying to continue to practice financial coitus interruptus, which is where I pull out every time the market is at an all-time high, you know, kind of edging, if you will. And, you know, I haven't been able to do that lately. And that doesn't make me too randy, because I'm greedy and I'm selfish. All right. Anywho, what else did we want to talk about? Crypto markets are down. The financial markets are down. Truth Social is down. I watch different news sources from time to time, and I saw that on CNN they were talking about how Truth Social is way down right now. In relation to where it went live. But I do think that it's important to know how much it's down in relation to the market overall, because the whole market is down. So you can't just bash Truth socially as much as you know how I feel about he who must not be named. Nevertheless, I do think in all fairness and objectivity, right, if we are going to say that Truth Social is way down, we have to be able to compare that objectively to the market as a whole. And if it's much lower than, you know, the overall markets, then that's something to actually be noted, and to highlight that in conjunction. So let's see the charts before we bash and then go from there. So that's my objective, and I'm sure that the Trump supporters will appreciate me for being objective there and not just going in for the jugular, right? He continues to be in deep waters, not sure what's going to happen. I guess this whole Stormy Daniels case now is being, the onion is being peeled back slowly. They're looking for a jury, I guess, an unbiased jury, which is a hard thing to remain unbiased for. But they are doing some jury selections. Not sure if you guys have ever done jury duty or tried to get out of jury duty. But they're trying to sort through potential jurors that are unbiased. That is the telltale of the whole jury selection process, which is a cornerstone of our democracy. It'll be interesting to kind of see what transpires through this whole Stormy Daniels case, you know? Good old Stormy Dandelion. Good old Stormy Damn Daniels, you know? So, that's what I wanted to say in relation to Donald John Trump's current whereabouts. I don't have too much to say anything about the current prezi. I saw that there was I think it was today that Biden and the main guy in Iraq were meeting. Am I speaking correctly? Somebody correct me on this out there. Can I get someone to correct me and or confirm that the United States and a dude from Iraq, a leader from Iraq or the leader, sat down and had a couple translators going back and forth where they didn't look at each other in the eyes, but they talk about the importance of an alliance here. So not exactly sure. Was it Iraq, or am I just, you know, talking out of my ass? Anyway, I'm willing to admit that I talk about my out of my ass. And I had a really great epiphany recently. I realized comedy is the only profession where you can get away with being as narcissistic as I can be at times, unless you're the president of the United States. So those are two professions where you are allowed to be a narcissistic motherfucker. Anywho, what do you say we move on from politics and finance? I pretty much kept it brief. Are you excited by that? Are you excited? I had somebody recently tell me, Mike, I like your podcast, but I just go ahead and I just scroll past the politics and the finance. I just kind of keep hitting the forward 15-second button until you're done talking about politics and finance. I love your podcast. I don't care to listen to that part. Now I'm not gonna stop doing what I do because of one person, but it was constructive feedback, which I appreciate always. So.
doesn't mean I'll listen to it. Well, I will listen to it. Doesn't mean I'm going to change my decisions. However, it worked out today for that person's benefit. So hopefully they didn't overskip. Now's a good time to start, guy or gal. I think it was a woman, actually. Anyway, did you enjoy the eclipse? How about that for some lighthearted content, huh? I happened to enjoy my eclipse. Did anyone do the eclipse and chill, you know? Did anyone hang out on a rooftop and, you know, maybe do a circle jerk action with your lenses? You know, you do some skiing, and then you look up into the sky, while doing a circle jerk and check out that eclipse. Hopefully no one stared directly into the sun without protection. Gotta wear an eye condom if you're gonna be looking at the sun. I was fortunate enough to be given goggles, proper goggles. Hopefully they were actually protective. I trusted the stranger that gave them to me. They also gave me a couple flowers. I was in downtown Columbia, Missouri, getting ready to... what was it? What day was it? I think it was the day that I did my speech. It was on a Monday. Yeah, I did a couple speeches, and I'll talk about that later, but I was downtown, and yes, there was some ladies handing out flowers, which is ironic because my parents were coming into town to see the speaking engagement with the students at the University of Missouri College of Business, and was able to give them a couple flowers and get a nice pair of lenses. Those ladies outside of that store were sweethearts. It was a day where it was a gift-giving session by them out of the kindness of their heart, out of love. And I was staying at a very first-class hotel in downtown Columbia, Missouri, a hotel that wasn't there when I went to school there. I'm going to thank myself for the development of that hotel by committing to the Missouri football team that launched millions of dollars worth of revenue from our winnings back when we were the best team in school history. And I'm going to give myself a nice pat on the back and credit for a lot of the infrastructure that has been developed in the downtown Columbia since our successful 2008 season. So by me getting to stay in a nice hotel, it's because of me. Now, not just because of me, because it was also because of my teammates. It's never one person. I was not claiming that. But if you're only as strong as your weakest link on a team, and I was not the weakest link, then you couldn't have sucked that bad. So if you're number one in the nation. So yeah, we tore it up. A lot of renovations taking place, not only in the stadium, but throughout Columbia. And it was great to see what our hard work has done. And, you know, as cocky as it may sound, it's honestly the truth. And to deny that would just be some bullshit canned response that you see some athletes say when they're being interviewed by ESPN. It's that canned, humble lie. Sometimes you just have to be honest and say, yeah, I did a great job of self-sacrifice for the University of Missouri. I was the sacrificial lamb, the Jesus Christ of the Missouri football team. Got the shit kicked out of me every day for the betterment of the team. And it was through the self-sacrifice of Michael Oldroyd that we became the greatest team. It's much more than that, guys, but that's the comedic aspect. Can you bear with me? There is truth to that. It's not just me. I'm not claiming that. But yes, I was part of the development of this hotel that had a very nice rooftop that I was able to chill out on and watch the eclipse. So there's the full circle. Shall we bow our heads and say amen? Okay, so amen. The eclipse was dank. I would have liked to have seen a danker eclipse. I would have liked to see it get real dark for us. But you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. Even though I'm not a beggar in this analogy, I'm going to be appreciative of what I got. The sky got a little darker, and I went and took a nap immediately afterwards. And I was glad that the eclipse was over so that I could take a nap. Anyway, Easter was a couple weeks back. There's a bullet point for you. Hopefully you guys had a nice dank Easter. I know a lot of people, even here in Tampa, celebrated Easter. That was nice to see. Happy to see everyone enjoying their Easter Sabbath. I had a nice Easter Sabbath. What did I do? I think it was the day after I went to Club Water for a DJ party. What was the name of the DJ that I saw? Anyway, it was a big DJ, apparently. The music was good. Clooney. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that later. I was recovering from my party there. By the way, I kind of have to fart, but I guess I could hold it in. The next day was April Fool's Day. Did anyone participate? I'm embarrassed myself to admit out loud that I did not come up with any good pranks this year for April Fool's Day. Really a missed opportunity is what that is. You can only do so much in life, and I felt like I ran out of time to really come up with a good prank. And shame on me. You know, whenever they come out in Game of Thrones and they say shame over and over to, you know, that one chick, the queen that was like a, you know, dating her brother or whatever. Not a good queen there. Shame though. Shame for me not, you know, for me not coming up with a good April Fool's Day prank. Anyway, like I said, taxes were due recently. I think we already covered that. Oh, here's a big one. O.J. Simpson passed recently. A lot of memes going around about it. A lot of memes going around. You know, you're not supposed to speak poorly of the deceased. And I, especially too soon, right, making jokes and stuff. I will say I've never seen so many too soon. I've never seen so many comedic memes about OJ or around the OJ thing, you know, with his trial and stuff. And I guess people felt like, you know, I guess enough people out there perhaps felt that he's guilty enough of murder, which no one really knows. Only God knows and OJ knows, and you know. But I feel like for some reason there's this like threshold that people, that was reached in people's minds where, because they were convinced he is a murderer, that it's okay to make jokes too soon. I saw a couple ones that made me laugh. I'm not going to get into it right now because I still try to honor the idea of respecting the deceased, so I'm going to refrain. But I will say there was a lot going around. There was a lot of OJ memes going around. Maybe there still are. And I'll no comment on whether or not I giggled at any of them. Anyway, what else? March Madness is over. That chick, guys. Who's that chick? The chick that's been just absolutely annihilating everyone. She was on Saturday Night Live over the weekend. What is her name, by golly? I should know this. She's a big deal. Anyway, she was on. We're going to talk about it here in a second with when I talk about what's going on in the comedy world. So I think that's a good segment. That's good enough for me right now. Hopefully it's good enough for you. It's 4:37 a.m., so we're going to call that a segment, and we're going to move on to the next. Does that sound like a plan? Because whether it does or not, it's what's about to happen.
Excuse me, I don't mean to be rude and interrupt, but are you ready for the segment known as What is Going On in the Comedy World?
Oh my gosh. Another beat?
Yeah.
Like, what is this? This is so exciting. I don't even know what is happening in the comedy world, so please, entertain me. Talk to me. Tell me. What the fuck is going on in the comedy world?
Talk to me. Tell me. Talk to me, Michael. Entertain me. I'm listening. I'm ready for you to tell me. I want to learn. I want to know. I want to know now.
All right, guys, welcome back. This is the segment that I just told you it is, right? So
There's some new SNL episodes that have been out in the last 3 weeks. As you know, Josh Brolin, I mentioned a few weeks back, he hosted. Then Rami Youssef, haven't watched his special. Looked like it was a man based on the thumbnail that I clicked on earlier when I was scrolling through SNL episodes. He's the guy that I mentioned a few weeks back that has a comedy special that was released in conjunction too. So big time for Buzz for Rami, if I'm pronouncing that right. The week after that, I believe Kristen Wiig hosted Saturday Night Live, who's a cutie, and got a great sense of humor. Enjoyed her character acting in the Wonder Woman 2 flick with Gal Gadot, and it was kind of an endearing character she played, which maybe as a reminder, always be loving to the characters like her in life, meaning, you know, the ones that aren't as naturally like good looking or cool or suave, like show love to them, and hopefully they aren't secretly a villain, I think is the lesson there. She was a villain in that flick. She turned out to be a villain, sadly, you know. So Ryan Gosling hosted this last week, and the thing that's fun about that, right, is nothing. Now, I watched part of it. Seemed fun. I have no problem with good old Gaz. I thought his monologue was fun, you know, kind of making fun of the Barbie thing and doing a Taylor Swift, you know, song at the piano about him not being able to let go of that character, which is kind of silly. The alien sketch was a cold open. I watched part of that, enjoyed that. And then I think a big thing, I always like to watch Weekend Update because it helps keep me informed of what's going on in the world if I haven't been paying attention that week. Or it's interesting for me if I have been paying attention to see what jokes they write versus the jokes that I've written that week. Like on Twitter or Threads, right? Threads is my better of the two. Twitter is just I just use it as a shit splattering canvas. I don't think my Twitter is buttoned up at all. I have a combination of emo tweets, heartfelt fucking, you know, like, you know, Hallmark type tweets, you know, like Mr. Deeds cards tweets. And then like comedic diarrhea, depending on what music I'm listening to at the time. So I try to keep it consistent on Threads and just have funny tweets or threads there. So my Twitter is the one mystery kind of jack of all trades, mental diarrhea, which some people want that or like that. Twitter plays, it's my least successful app. So it's playing hard to get with me, which is why I spend the most time with Twitter, because I'm chasing it, you know? You know, once I get a lot of followers on other platforms, I disappear. I just disappear into the focus on the ones that suck, you know? Anyway, there's some truth to that. Not really. I just put my better shit on the on Instagram and Facebook and all that. So anyway, better is a, I shouldn't judge my own art, but, you know what I'm saying. I feel like some people probably like my Twitter the best, and some people probably don't. You know what I mean? Because it's pretty unhinged, and it's very... Who the fuck knows what's about to come out of my mouth on Twitter? And for how long? I mean, there are parallels between my chaotic diarrhea at times and Donald Trump's, I will say, as scary as that may sound. But you know what they say in Harry Potter? Both wands, Harry's and Voldemort's, were made from the same unicorn. So there is some connection there, which is terrible. All right, but it's also good, maybe, right? So anyway, good old Caitlin Clark was on the Weekend Update. Good job to Caitlin for being as successful as she is in the game of basketball, college basketball specifically. So hopefully you guys enjoyed March Madness.
both men's and women's. It is now over officially. I forget who won either of the two tournaments, but congratulations if your team won or if you had a bracket. Is my fucking voice boring enough, by the way? Let's get some voice and fluctuation. I don't want to be too crazy in the middle of the night and wake up my neighbors. It's 4:44 a.m., which is a good omen. At least we got that going for us, am I right? Okay, so 4:44 a.m., and I think we're at a point where we can move on to the next segment. How about that?
Hello? Are we doing this again? I thought you just talked about what's going on in the comedy world.
My comedy world.
Sorry, I didn't know that what's going on in your comedy world is, like, more important.
It's not.
Oh, it's not? Oh, that's why you put a third? Okay, I apologize.
Bukkake?
Well, let's listen. Let's listen to what's going on in Michael's comedy world, you frickin' narcissist. Okay. What is going on in Michael's comedy world? Michael's comedy world. Michael's comedy world.
All right, you freaking buffoons. Let's talk about my comedy world. Let's get fucking selfish. Let's get narcissistic. Let's dig in, huh? I did a callback for Ocean Spray about a week ago, or maybe a little over a week ago. I felt decent about the callback. Apparently, I didn't get the audition, but the job offer, because I haven't heard from them. That's how it goes. It's like a chick, you know? You just fucking, just at some point the conversation ends and you're like, well, we didn't bang yet, so I guess I'm not in the running anymore, you know? And then sometimes you bang several times and then, you know, maybe she ghosts you or she doesn't. Life is interesting. You just never effing know, you know? So what I'm trying to say is you give them the dick when you can. And let the chips fall where they will. And unfortunately, Ocean Spray didn't like just the tip that I gave them. But it would have been a great paying gig, and I was excited by the opportunity. I thought it was cool that I did a callback with them. So, you know, fuck it, huh? All right. Last week was a really big week for me. So, what is it? Monday? Holy shit. It's been a week since I spoke at the University of Missouri. So, last week is not even the right word. That was the final day with a week prior of stuff. So, time flies, which is crazy. But I started the previous week off with a corporate gig in Tampa. I think it was Tuesday when that gig happened. It was an awards banquet. It was an honor to be part of it. I got to do a combination of stand-up comedy as well as lighthearted and jovial emceeing for this annual corporate awards in the water industry of all places. So my water boy impression came in very handy there. Talked a little bit about business, gave a little bit of motivational aspect to it. Met a bunch of people, got offered several jobs afterwards. I get done with the gig and thinking, you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed this. And, you know, people are coming up to me, not even commenting on whether or not they thought I was funny, but they're like, if you ever quit comedy, I'd like to hire you. So I do have some chops in the business world that are continually recognized, which is dank. But frankly, I'd like some more comedy jobs. How about that, huh? All right. It was a really great deal doing that. It was a lot of fun. Made a couple blunders and mistakes, but apparently it made it funnier and more endearing, and they liked it. So I'm glad to have heard that. And it sounded like the majority of the folks want to have me back next year, so that gives me a nice stiff erection. I flew back to Missouri. Did a show, got to see my family for a little bit, which was nice. And then I drove to Como Thursday afternoon and did a show at Harpo's Thursday night. So let me tell you about Harpo's if you don't know. Harpo's is probably the most iconic bar it's not on campus, it's downtown Columbia, Missouri, which is right next to campus. Campus is kind of like merged into the downtown area. And Harpo's has been one of the go-to spots, if not the go-to spot if you had to choose one bar to like define the University of Missouri, just if you had to like go with one, it would be Harpo's naturally, consistently over the decades. And they've really done a lot of renovations. Once again, glad to see my efforts on the football team lead to renovations at Harpo's, you know, lead to revenue being generated by the city for the city. And good to see Harpo's tearing it up, and saw a lot of memorabilia in there in the new space. It was really cool. The new space has got a nice tour from the guys that I was, they treated me very hospitably when I got in town. It was the first place I went when I arrived, cause it's only a couple hours before showtime, and they showed me around, let me chill, in space in like one of their spaces in the back, and got to see all their, a lot of different memorabilia and sports jerseys that were hanging up. David Freeze jersey, which was hanging up, which was cool because his mom was my seventh grade language arts teacher. And she used to compare me to David long before he was the famous David Freeze, because we were both, in quotes, troublemakers, right? Which I got to tell David about that once. I said, your mom said I remind you of her, David. He goes, why, were you a troublemaker? I said, yeah, exactly. He goes, ah, yes. So me and David Freeze are apparently cut from the same cloth, which means there's greatness in us, right? And we're also Eskimo bros, not to out him. I know he's married, and the only hint I can give you is it's, I would never say that out loud if it was his wife, right? No, I've never met his wife. I know who she is. I know her older brother. In fact, I remember seeing her older brother at Harpo's many times when we were in college, Mr. Ian O'Leary. Shout out to Ian, engineer in Kansas City, Missouri. But anyway, yeah, David and I are Eskimo bros, and I will remain anonymous. I put that on social media, and one of my buddies responded to me and said, who is it, you fuck? Say who it is, you fucking pussy. So, I will not do that. That is called defamation and slander, so I will not throw anyone under the bus, or maybe they want to be. Maybe the gal wants the fame. Maybe she wants the shout out. Either way, not gonna say anything further about who. But David Freeze and I are Eskimo bros, and apparently we're very similar, according to his mom, who nobody would know more than her. So, I met him at Pepper Lounge several years ago in the VIP section. I was wearing a bow tie, thanks to my buddy Tyler Schaffring, who took me out. That night years ago, I think it was some event downtown. We went to Pepper Lounge afterwards, saw David Freeze, and he commented on my bow tie. I think he spoke to me first, actually. He goes, hey, I like your bow tie. And nobody else fucking liked my bow tie in that whole place. That's how cool David Freeze is. It's going against the grain of society and being able to be confident enough in who you are and being grounded and recognizing the fucking bow tie. And he wasn't being sarcastic. So I just went off on a giant David Freeze tangent, but I did give him a shout out while I was on stage because there was a fucking David Freeze jersey right in front of my face when I was on stage in the back room of Harpo's where I remember where I saw Ian O'Leary several years ago, ironically. That's David's wife's older brother. Anyway, and it's a small world. The fucking show was, I had a blast. I'm very thankful for the people that came out. Shout out to, you know, Loretta from Missouri, the Missouri Letterman Athletics squad there. She's part of Missouri. Shout out to her and people from the Mizzou Athletics that came out, as well as one of my former coaches, Dan Hopkins, who we had a good banter on stage. I usually don't drink when I'm on stage, but for this one I did because it was just, I just wanted to have a blast, and I think we all did. And Dan and I went back and forth on the microphone and talked about how when I would score touchdowns in the first string defense, he would get yelled at, which is hilarious to me. You know, he would say that Coach Eberflus would get mad at him when I score touchdowns on his defense, like Dan had something to do with it. You know, like, stop getting Oldroyd the ball, or, you know, I don't know exactly what we were laughing about it, but we had a good banter. Trey Barrow came out, former kicker, punter. I think he was a punter. He was after my time, but he was in the room with guys that I knew, you know, like Jake Harry, who came to the show on Friday in Kansas City. It was great to see Coach Hopkins there. He brought people, supported. A lot of students filled the room and came into the room, and we filled the room. It was a room full of people doing comedy for them. And it was fun. It was challenging because there was music coming from multiple directions, which is always a nice doozy, right? When the fucking, you got a bass being dropped with house music in one floor, and then on the other side, you got a fucking live musician with nothing but cloth. No soundproof, nothing, just fucking blasting music during your comedy show from multiple directions. So that was a nice doozy, having to scream into the mic just to be heard. But we came in with high energy. I came in like Dane Cook. I felt like I had no choice but to resort to the inner Dane Cook for this show to keep the energy levels high and keep people engaged, which I did. I put it in four-wheel drive and fucking grinded forward like a motherfucker on my toes, not on my heels. At one point the microphone died multiple times on me, which was a nice challenge, a nice little Happy Gilmore in the batting cages, get the shit beat out of you challenge. I was a walk-on all over again, it felt like. I was screaming at one point during my set since the microphone went out, and then they brought me a megaphone. One of my buddies who works at Harpo's there, he was my new buddy as of, you know, an hour before that, brought me a megaphone, and that was a lot of fun. That was a doozy. That was funny. I've never done comedy with a megaphone before, so I felt like it was worth it just for the picture, if nothing else, of me screaming into a megaphone at Harpo's. So I enjoyed that very much. Enjoyed the Mizzou football memorabilia, the team, you know, Chase Daniel. There's a big poster in one of the entrances of Chase, Sean, and J-Mac, Sean Witherspoon and Jeremy Macklin. They were telling me how they come back sometimes for games and get VIP bottle service in Como, which is fun. Thanks for the invite, Chase. Appreciate that. Sarcasm. Okay, good. Let's move on. Did a little Chase Daniel bashing on stage, so that's always good, right? Appreciate Chase for not responding to any of my messages over the last several years. Thanks, Chase. Good stuff. Let's move on. We had a great time. We had a great time. It was fun just blasting diarrhea into the ether, and the college kids seemed to love it. More and more college kids were coming in wanting to send me more drinks, wanting me to talk about more and more controversial stuff, so I saw a lot of phones out, a lot of recording of my set without my permission, but I took it as an honor. You know, that way I end up, my controversial shit just ends up on Snapchat into the underground railroads, if you will. And we had a good time. So that was Thursday night, and I made a joke about how my bull rings, as some of you may know, I make a joke about how my bull rings lose power over women over time. And a couple of cute sorority, it was weird. I said when I was in college, all I had to do was just show up to the bars with my rings on and just women would appear. And after my fucking comedy set, that's exactly what happened. These fucking three cute sorority girls just like appear around me. I'm like, okay, this is what's up, you know, like, this is what's up, ladies. And we were talking about like power dynamics and relationships and stuff. And then somehow they all just like kissed my cotton bowl ring, and that gave me a boner. That was a new flex that I didn't realize I had. So apparently I stand corrected at the University of Missouri that the bowl rings don't lose power over women over time. It's just, you got to be in Columbia, Missouri, apparently, and the power's there. So I think what I learned from my comedy set is I'm living in the wrong city. What I should be doing is being a fucking 37-year-old, washed-up motherfucker living the dream still in Columbia, Missouri, and banging fucking 22-year-old Missouri sorority girls. So I don't know why I'm, you know, going backwards when I should be running forwards. I should be living and going to Harpo's every day. What the fuck am I doing? You know, Why am I missing the loose Jenga pieces trying to chase the hard Jenga pieces? The ones that are fucking stiff like a board, not interested in kissing the ring. But nevertheless, we had a good time. The ladies were sweet. We laughed. It was a harmless, fun banter. Had some drinks till they kicked us out, till the place closed, and then got no sleep. Got no sleep and had to wake up at like the crack of dawn because I was on the Inside Mizzou Athletics podcast that morning. So I'd like to shout out to Brian Tretinago, I think is that how his last name is pronounced. Forgive me, Brad. Did I just say Brian? It's fucking 4:59 in the morning. Forgive me. Cut me a break. Brad Tretinago. Fuck. How do you pronounce it? Brad and Matt do the Inside Missouri Athletics podcast. It's Tregnago. Brad Tregnago. So Mike Kelly got me in touch with Brad. Very much appreciated to Brad, Matt, Mike Kelly, and their assistant Andrew, who I met while they had me on as a guest for the episode. It was already released. You can find it. They put it on Twitter and everywhere else that podcast goes. It was an honor. It was really cool to be part of it. I was surprised they asked me what coach held me back from being able to, you know, play. And I was like, never thought I'd be asked this publicly, even though I've talked about it before on my podcast and my forums and my platforms, but you know, on a platform that's being blasted out to the Missouri athletics world, I was like, well, Andy Hill, you know? but the truth is, at the end of the day, even though I felt like Coach Hill didn't like me, you know, in truth be told, what really held me back was that I got hurt at the time where my chance was actually going to be had. At some point, Coach Hill and no one else can hold you back. You know, it's kind of like the Peter principle. You eventually rise to the level of your greatness or your lack of greatness. And Coach Pinkle liked me. A lot of coaches liked me. I didn't feel that love from Coach Hill. He might beg to differ. Maybe he was giving me tough love. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to give me a dose of reality. I can't speak for Coach Hill. I don't wish him any ill will. I wish nothing but love to him and his family. I do congratulate him on his couple Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rings as a coach. But I did not feel the love while I was there. I didn't feel the warm fuzzies from him. I felt like he didn't want me there, you know, in all truth be told, right? So it was an uphill battle in that way. It was a challenge to overcome feeling like you're the guy who's supposed to be supporting you most doesn't like you, you know, which happens in the real world. Some people don't like each other, and sometimes your boss doesn't like you. And Coach Hill was essentially my first level manager, I guess you could call it, right? Either way, I think that I was getting ready to move up in the depth chart in 2008, and I got hurt. And it doesn't matter whether Coach Hill liked me or not. If I was able to get shit done, I was going to be moving up. So, hey, that's the way the ball bounces. So it was kind of interesting that came up in the podcast, but we had a great time. We had some laughs. I did a Nicolas Cage impression of Nicolas Cage, like interviewing for the director of athletics and, athletics director. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. Listen to that episode. I think you guys might get a kick out of it. It's pretty legit. I've already said it's an honor. It's a big deal. It was cool that they put me in the spotlight like that, and it's very much appreciated, you know. So, I want to give a shout out to Harpo's for letting me do the show. I thought it was really cool. And then Libby, who works for Harpo's on their marketing team, was amazing with the marketing piece. She and I did a few collaborative posts leading up to the show, which really helped get the word out about it. So I love Libby for her help. You know, Harpo's has 21,500 followers. And, you know, I got my name out to, you know, a ton of the, you know, the people that follow ARPOs on Instagram, which is a lot of current day students and some graduates, but it was a good opportunity to merge with them and to, you know, ARPOs is where they used to, like, back in the days when Mizzou would win a big game, like a night game against Nebraska or something, and people would storm the field. They would cut down the goalposts and march them all the way from Faro Field to downtown and, like, cut up the fucking goalposts at ARPOs and divvy them out. One of my friends, Jimmy, has a piece of the goalpost still to this day. He has a nice chunk of the goalpost. So there is, like, part of the soul of the history of Mizzou that lives in ARPOs and Missouri football. So there is interconnectedness. There is a reason that I chose ARPOs, and I'm thankful that they chose me back for the show. I'm thankful we got to collaborate, and it's a memory, and it's something that was special to me to be able to do that. So anyway, I woke up early Friday and started my engagements with Mizzou. Got to watch a bunch of students present. And then some pitches. Entrepreneurship students did a great job. They worked hard and, you know, on their presentations, and I got to watch them in a nice auditorium for a couple hours. And then we did a 30-minute session where those students, there was maybe 20 to 30 of them ish, that maybe more, maybe 20 to 40, I don't know. But they, we sat in a room and we talked, and it was a meet and greet and a Q&A session. Got to ask me questions about how do you overcome failure, and, you know, how do I fail a lot? How often does it happen in my business anymore? I told them constantly. It's just part of success. You have to, you know, that's how you build up. That's how you fucking ascend, is by climbing on the lessons in the backs of both failure and success, right? So you take those W's and you fucking pull them in and you build on them, right, when they happen. So failure is an inevitable part of the equation. So they loved that. I think it was encouraging because, you know, people probably get down on themselves when they fail, thinking when you're younger, you think, oh, I'm not supposed to fail, right? But it's liberating in the way that, yeah, I'm human. It's okay. I have failed, and it's okay to keep failing as long as I keep going. So we had a great time. I felt like I made an impact in that moment based on the looks in their eyes and the engagement. And it was really nice to interact with them and meet them and be part of their experience. It was meaningful. And then we went to a luncheon, and the dean of the University of Missouri introduced me, and it was such a thoughtful introduction and such a kind of a beautiful introduction, where he highlighted me and my story, that it almost brought a tear to my eye. It was kind of an unexpected kind set of words that was just more than just like a sentence or two. It was actually like a very thoughtful description where I felt very seen, actually. And it was an honor, you know, for the dean to be the one to introduce me. And he even said that he was interviewed once, and they asked him what he would do. Is there any other job that he would want to do if it wasn't the job that he's doing? And he said that it was to be a comedian. So it was a very humble of him. He was funny. He made me laugh a couple of times too, not only in his speech, but in real life. And he was kind. It was really nice. So I went up there and I spoke, and I, you know, felt very off the cuff, which made it perfect. It wasn't unprepared in any way, or lack of care that I did that for. It's because it's how I present myself in the business world that I know what I need to do to be most successful, and how it feels to be at terminal velocity of kind of like flying, essentially. You know, I have bullet points that I wanted to hit, which I hit in a certain order, but I spoke and I found myself describing one of my friends who I met in business school there, and our story and how the origin story of how we became friends that led to the job that was the startup that I joined at you know, with Sagacious Consultants before we eventually blew up and sold to Accenture. But I talked about our friendship, and before that I had talked about football and getting hurt. And for whatever reason, when I talked about my friend Kyle, I explained to the group that I didn't want to see a friend go through what I had to go through when I failed in football with my injury. I didn't want a friend to have to experience the same failure that I felt. I didn't want a friend to have to know what that felt like, to fail that hard and that deep when you put everything into, you know, making a dream come true. And I actually started crying. I couldn't let those, for some reason, I didn't think it was emotional for me until I was explaining it in that moment, and I realized that I hit on a vein because I was speaking the truth to them and I couldn't say those words. And each time I tried, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't get the words out. And I started, you know, I didn't like bawl my eyes out, but I cried enough to have a moment of, I guess, humanness and almost self-reflection on the fact that I guess I'm proud of myself for having a heart like that, you know, and, you know, doing whatever I needed to do to help the company in a way that at the end of the day, the company wasn't going to fail, you know. And, you know, he probably doesn't realize that truth. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but he should know. So if someone's listening to this, that wants to pass that message along to Kyle, feel free. How about that? All right. Let's move on. All right. It was a great moment for me to share my story in a beautiful atrium, at Mizzou with some, the entrepreneurship students. I talked about the importance of, you know, letting love guide you and not letting, when you do something that you love or you're pursuing something that you love, it'll cancel out the fear, all the rational fears and all these things. And it's what'll sustain you when times get hard, because if you're doing what you love, you won't give up just because it's hard. It'll always be worth it to keep going if it's what's in your heart. And I can speak on that because I'm still in the middle of my comedy journey. I've achieved a lot, but there's a lot that I still want to achieve, and I do not plan on throwing in the towel. I plan on fucking marching forward and running the race, completing the race, right? And yeah, I was thankful to be able to do that and meet students afterwards, engage with them, lots of new students that I never would have met, and I love their entrepreneurial spirit, and I wish them well, and I'm glad that I got to impart some kind of wisdom to them in their journey, and we're connected. A lot of them connected with me on LinkedIn. I got new followers from it on Instagram, so I want to thank you guys who followed me and my social media, because that helps me. Some of you may be listening to this podcast right now. So after I dipped from that, I went to Kansas City and I did a big show in KC that night. And, it was a doozy. It was fun. You know, a lot of guys from, you know, let me give some shout outs. Brent Heidi, was there. Jared Buchanan. Those are Eureka guys. Brent and I played football at Eureka together. Eric is one of my best friends down here in Tampa. My high school quarterback is Eric, his younger brother. Stayed with Brent for the weekend, actually. Well, at least one night. There was another night I was staying potentially with a lady. Who knows? Who knows? You know? Either way, Jared came out with his fiance. It brought some people. Appreciate Jared for coming out and supporting E-Town in the house. You know, a lot of, it was like a Sagacious reunion. So John Freeman, Monty Hess, Amin Waukes, Jeff Vanderhagen, Adrian Cauldron. They came out. Fucking Mizzou football was in the house. We had Danny Religert. We had Jeff Wolfert, Jeffrey James Wolfert, Jake Harry. We had Blake May in the house, and it was just a great time. There was a lot of other people that came out. Jeff brought some people. It was a good intimate night. It's been 10 years since I did my show in Kansas City when I left to go to New York. And a lot of these people, if not all of them, were at that show 10 years ago supporting me. So I love you guys. We had a great time. I had a great time. I rarely drink on stage, but these shows were celebratory shows. So I started the show sober, and by the end was, you know, people were sending me drinks, and we all love each other, and we just had a blast. It was off the cuff. It was loose, telling stories. Some of it was scripted. Some of it wasn't. But there was a big component of just kind of having a party together and an intimate inside joke sharing. Fucking just, it was special. It really was special. We had some drinks afterward. We went out, Jared, Brent and I, and John Freeman came out, and then some of my phone died, so I guys like Danny and Jake and Jeff and Blake, I didn't get to hang out with them because they texted me and my fucking phone was dead, and I didn't know they left without saying anything, so you motherfuckers should have said something before you left. Now, it was all in good faith, and maybe it all worked out exactly how it was supposed to. A lot of guys have families, so they can't just go crazy anymore. I mean, I remember one night Danny and I were out in Kansas City years ago at the Grand Falloon, and I said, let's go talk to those chicks over there, to Danny. I know one of them. And then sure enough, we go over, and several years later, one of those women became his wife, and they have three daughters now together. And I was the impetus for that, and that makes me very happy. And I spoke at his wedding in California, Temecula, California. It's a beautiful wedding. So Danny and Annie, and their three beautiful kids, and they're doing terrific. So great to see Danny, who's been a big help for my comedy, and as a ghostwriter, if you will, in quotes, a little Nicolas Cage reference. He's the one, out of all of my friends, nobody has uploaded more pictures of Nicolas Cage to Facebook and tagged me than Danny Religert, a.k.a. Heligirth, is what I call him. I appreciated the support, and yes, he's a Republican, so of course I made him pay full price for the tickets, just like all my friends, and a lot of them did, and I appreciated that. You know, everyone's doing well, they don't need handouts and stuff, so I appreciate the support. Had a great time, went out, like I said, afterwards. Saturday, went out again, Brent and I went out and just had a blast, and met a girl at this one place who works for the Chiefs. She was really cool. Got to see her super, she has this freaking Super Bowl ring and a second one coming. It was insane. Brent was with me. So it was like the four of us were all together on this Super Bowl ring thing. And that was really special. So I'm not going to say any names. I probably already said too much, but it was just really cool. Really cool people. Really good times, good laughs, good times, celebration, kind of cool to, just magically find myself wearing a Super Bowl ring, a Chiefs ring when I go out in Kansas City, as my last night there. So did that and eventually made my way back to Como Sunday night. And got ready for my speech the next day. I think the next day was the eclipse thing. And then that night, so this is a big one. My parents came in town for this. This was the main event of the whole week. This was the big one. It was the whole shebang. So Missouri Business School kicked off Business Week, right? It's a big deal for the College of Business at Mizzou, or the Trulask School of Business. Beautiful auditorium they had reserved for me, and a bunch of kids made reservations, like even Friday. There was like 200 reservations already made on Friday going into Monday. where I was going to do a keynote speech at in Cornell Hall, which is a beautiful auditorium, 300 seater, and top of the line, you know. And from 5:30 to 6:30, I delivered a keynote speech to the students about my story. I included a combination of sharing my story, sharing what I thought were best practices and things that I had learned that might be helpful if I had known them as a student. I did some stand-up comedy. I did a little slideshow PowerPoint presentation to give them some picture context of some of the guys that I had worked with and some of the silliness of how I would act in the office to make people laugh, to lighten up the mood. And then we did a long Q&A session, like a 30-minute Q&A on top of the hour speech, plus like a 30-minute meet and greet. And I love how engaged the students were. They loved the stand-up, and then they really engaged with me and asked a lot of questions. It lasted a long time. And then there was a long line of people that wanted to meet me. So it was really cool. Again, got a bunch of followers on Instagram, random platforms like Twitter and, LinkedIn connections from it. So I want to thank all the Missouri students for showing up to that. It was not a required event. It was great to see so many people that wanted to hear me speak that showed up and actually engaged with us, engaged with me. It was a very special moment for our family because my mom and dad were there. I invited them to witness it, and my mom made a real nice post. She said the thing she got most out of the speech was the importance of how I incorporated the idea of taking risks and you know, pursuing what you love, because the greater the risk, the greater the reward, right? So I shared a lot of the failures that I had experienced along the journey. It was awesome. It was cool. We bonded. I bonded with students. I got good feedback from students. I got random messages. Just one kid just said, "Hey, I just wanted to reach out and tell you I really enjoyed that." You know, met another girl the next day when I was at Cornell who was very kind, and she told me how good of a speech she thought it was, and that it was a really good sign because college students usually are like, they're not responsive to like lectures, you know? So she said that, it was a very good sign at how responsive the students were. So I thought that was really meaningful, you know, 'cause in school, you know, in college, everyone's too cool for school. You can't show emotion, you know? So the fact that I got some was meaningful. And I was invited I was asked by the dean of the business school's assistant to make time to come in and meet with him. So Tuesday morning after a nice time out with my parents, we went to dinner afterwards at a Japanese sake place downtown. Had a very nice dinner. They stayed in my hotel with me. We had a nice couch and a king-size bed. So I was able to make some accommodations for them and not bang any chicks. That's how unselfish I am. I allowed my parents to stay at my hotel to save some money and didn't go chase tail, on my night to celebrate. So enjoyed, our time together, which was very special. And the next day, met with the dean of the business school in his office at Cornell, up in the top floors there. I think it was my first time in the dean's office. I don't ever remember. I don't even think I knew who the dean was during my time at Mizzou, because it was a different dean. But he was very kind, very respectful. It was very special. He said nothing but nice things. Congratulated me, thanked me for the time that I'd given the students and the gift that I'd given to them, commended me on pursuing such a unique career path that is as unique as I am as an individual, which was those were kind words. And, you know, he said he knows that I'll continue to be successful and more successful even, and asked what he can do and what Missouri Business School could do for me, which was a question I didn't expect to hear, which was extremely generous and kind. And I couldn't think of anything at first, but then I did think of anything, and I did think of something that I think could be very valuable. And as soon as I said it, he said, done. So it was pretty cool. I felt in some, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but it felt like Van Wilder going back to school with a happy ending, you know, years later. It felt like if there was a Van Wilder too, and he reengaged with the dean of the dean and engaged with students, it felt like that, you know. And there's an aspect to it where I'm not 22 anymore, so I can't act like I'm 22 anymore. And I have to play the part of the role that I'm in at this point in my life, which is the older veteran who, you know, is fortunate to be able to impart wisdom. I can't, you know, go post up at the bar with my Letterman jacket and try to bang chicks. I mean, if it's going to happen, they kind of got to come to me, you know what I mean? So, which they did, but we didn't have sex, but it was nice to spend a moment with the girls that we did at Harpo. So, anyway, yeah, I'd say that's kind of it in a nutshell. I finished the entire, if anyone saw my itinerary that I had posted online, I posted all these events, and then on the last one was, last day was Tuesday, help dad with the stuff he's been bugging me about. So yes, I was able to help my dad in the end with a bunch of moving heavy bricks around at the house in St. Louis on Tuesday before I flew back to Tampa on Wednesday. So it was a full trip. I know that my parents are proud. That makes me happy. They deserve to feel proud, and I'm glad that I was able to give that to them, because I think they'll always remember that one. You know, I think that'll be something that they can always kind of get the smile from ear to ear on with that one. You know, so I'm thankful for everyone that helped make that happen. I want to thank John Scott Christensen for being the impetus of everything, professor that I stayed in touch with for many years, who's engaged with me a few times. In fact, he had me, not only was he the impetus for this, but he also had me engage with the students when the pandemic hit and to do Zoom comedy for them. I think I was the first person to do a Zoom comedy show. I remember when I posted about it, a bunch of people liked it, and then suddenly after that people started doing Zoom comedy shows. So not that Zoom comedy shows are a good thing, but better than nothing, some would say, during a time like the pandemic. So I want to give a shout out to John, he's leading the entrepreneurship group. He leads a lot of the stuff with the study of AI and intelligence in that way. He's a kind soul. He's a good person. I always liked him because he cares. He cares about the students greatly, and that shines through. It's one of the reasons I've remained in touch with him, is because he's got a good heart. And his assistant, Sophia, I want to thank her for all the logistics coordination. I want to thank the dean of the business school and his assistants, who I got to engage with and meet, and Amanda, who was helpful. I want to thank Emily Stoker, who was a big part of planning the content, or at least helping develop the bullet points of the speech, the keynote speech that I gave on Monday, helping engaging with students. I want to thank the students who met with me and Emily on a Zoom call a while back to help frame that piece, or frame that night, that engagement, and how I would, you know, some of the talking points that they thought would be most valuable to extract from my mind. So the students that helped plan that, the students that helped run the event itself, there was multiple students involved with the logistics and working the different aspects of the room. There's a little bit, you know, more to it. It's not just people show up and there's no one there to like run the event. So there was students that actively were checking people in and doing things to help with the presentation, moving chairs around, facilitating that. And the students that showed up, you know, I want to thank the students that showed up that wanted to hear my message, hear my story, that wanted to participate, that wanted to meet me, that did meet me, that came up and introduced themselves afterward, that added me on LinkedIn. I want to thank the students that have followed me and are supporting my comedy journey now and that are a part of that, right? I feel engaged with the university. I feel reinvigorated. I feel reintroduced to a school that I've given so much to and love with all my heart, that was such a pivotal part of my development and a part of my life story. My time when I was in college was truly some of the best times of my life, and I shared that with the students. I told them that I experienced love there. I experienced, you know, so much. And to be re-engaged with the university in a current day format with where I am in my life now and what's actively trending and happening in the world and in that world, you know, to go back and see in real time, you know, where the rubber meets the road, it was special. So I'm thankful to be engaged. In fact, after I met with the dean on Tuesday, as silly as it may sound, I walked by the columns outside of Jesse Hall. I sat down for a little bit. I had my sunglasses on. I actually had a good little cry. And the tears were of being proud of myself. I cried out of joy and cried out of happiness for what I've accomplished. You know, we're always pushing for more, and we always should be, but at the end of the day, if it all stopped tomorrow, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. You know, hopefully God has more in the tank for me, you know, but if it all stopped tomorrow, I'm proud of what I've accomplished, and I'm proud of the value that I've created in the world. I'm not perfect, and I haven't done, you know, the students even asked me, am I afraid of cancel culture, you know, and I told them I try not to think about it, and part of that is because, one, I don't want to live in fear, two, I've tried my best to be a good person, but I also know that I'm human, so whatever is going to happen is going to be what it is, but I know that I have tried, and I also know that I'm human, and we all make mistakes. The important thing is that we learn from our mistakes and we grow and we move forward. So that's it. That's how I felt and that's how I feel. And I'm thankful for the whole thing. So, anything coming up in my comedy world? Yeah. Sunshine City comedy. So I had a show Sunday night in St. Pete, which was a lot of fun. Sierra Layton was there. John Turkell, a couple other names, Shea Freeman, I think his name is. He orchestrated. He's a guy from Florida who lives in LA now. Makes fun of himself a lot. Called himself an ugly baby once. Showed pictures with it on the flyer. Corey Jennings, I think, opened the show after Shea. Anyway, it was a good show. People came out. I want to thank the people that came out to see me. People that live in my building here. One of the bartenders from The Addition and her husband came out. I want to thank them for coming out. It was great to meet new people after the show, made some new fans. A couple girls came out with me afterwards to the Saint, and we met up with the bartender from The Addition and her husband. So the Saint, which was like next door to where the show was, and that was a lot of fun because I've never been there. I've heard a lot about it. And is there anything else going on worth mentioning at the moment right now? No, it's great to put this podcast out for you guys. I have a I'm headlining Sunshine City Comedy Club May 2nd. So for people in the Tampa, St. Pete area or who are going to be in Florida, Thursday, May 2nd, I'm headlining Sunshine City Comedy Club in St. Pete Beach. I'll be back there. I'm excited. Very excited. So you could probably start. I assume that this show is being, I'm assuming you can already buy tickets online at the website. I can't confirm that yet, but it's worth taking a gander because you might be able to already. And I also have a corporate gig in the works with, well, I shouldn't say the name of the company, but anyway, it's a pharmaceutical company and they have an annual gala coming up and they reached out to me about performing at it. So I'm excited. I think that's really, I'm looking forward to the prospect of doing that. And I got a positive reference coming from the corporate gig the other night. Hopefully that'll show up on LinkedIn here soon. And, you know, pictures, video of the different events to show the marketing piece for some of these engagements. So, you know, everything from the being able to do stand-up comedy in any form, whether it's at a comedy club, at a bar, at a corporate event, or at a university. And then also being able to MC or host any type of event, whether it's corporate or comedy. And then being able to do a keynote speech that's funny, light-spirited, and naturally motivating just because it's me telling my story. And to have these capabilities under the belt and these opportunities to create value in ways that I do or can. It's exciting. I feel accomplished and I'd like to do more. And if your company needs a corporate humorist or any of this stuff, keep me in mind. If you guys want me to come tell my story and motivate your fucking employees, you lazy motherfuckers, then hire me. All right. Anyway, I think that that's a good segment there. We'll call that a full segment of what's going on in my comedy world. And we'll tie it off here at the end with what's going on in my world.
Your world? Oh, what are you talking about? That's like so weird and I don't know why my accent is changing over time. Who am I? Oh, this is... No, what type of instrument is that?
Bukkake!
That's fun. You're fun. We're fun. Michael, let's hear about you. Oh my gosh, how do you do? I am so excited to be here with you. Let us do this one last segment all for you.
Alright guys, so what's going on in my world? Well, I have, I'm leasing a Tesla at the moment on a week-to-week basis, so I've been enjoying that. I've been driving for Uber on the side. been enjoying that. I'm going to Key West this coming weekend it's just a vacation. Going there with a friend and her sister and her. It's like a group. We're going to Key West and we're going to do some like paddleboarding down there and like staying at some resort at the bottom tip of Florida and then driving down into the Keys for a day or two of, again, nature-infused activities. So I'm looking forward to that. When it comes to recapping my trip from a non-comedy perspective, I just want to say I'm thankful for my teammates that I got to see and talk to while I was there. I know that Martin Rucker wanted to come to the show on Friday in Kansas City. He was actually going to come out with Tommy Saunders and their wives, but something happened with the babysitter last minute. So I made some jokes about Ruck not being there, but it was all fun and love. It was great to see Chase Patton. Chase was the star quarterback of Rockbridge High School, which is a Columbia school. I think they won state. He was a full-ride scholarship quarterback to Mizzou, and him and Chase Daniel were number one and two QBs on the depth chart. Chase Patton didn't end up, you know, Chase Daniel won the starting spot Chase came from Texas and had a bunch of fucking, you know, state championships from Texas under his belt, from South, I think it's South Lake or Carroll, Texas, and you know, Missouri, the program really was perfect for Chase Daniel, and he really excelled. And Chase Patton, you know, was one of those guys that had outstanding capability, but just didn't work out for him as far as getting much of a chance at Mizzou. Chase was telling me that he did get a shot at the pros, though, that he got a couple looks, which was really cool. I'm glad they gave him a chance at least. One of my favorite guys and quarterbacks of all time. I have a lot of favorites. Eric Heide, I mention a lot. Chase Patton, something unique about him. He's a very... He has a heart of gold, and he would stay after practice with me every day until we got kicked off the field throwing me routes. And I got, basically, I became, you know, there's so many guys that helped make me better and make me the best athlete and wide receiver that I could be. One of the people that was pivotal in that development was Chase Patton through all the reps, all the passes he threw me. And he's so good and so precise. I mean, it was incredible to be able to just run routes with Chase in the stadium. If nothing else, God gave me a great gift through Chase Patton and the times that I got to run routes full speed, high end, first class, D1 tier, fucking like precision surgeon like passes from Chase Patton. And I will value that till the end of time. Great to see Chase. We actually did an early morning workout with one of our former teammates, Jay Ray. I don't know if you guys remember Jay Ray, number 4, Jason Ray in the house, but we, the three of us, there was a couple other guys that showed up too, like Zach Coughlin and some guys that weren't there during my time, but there was a early workout that we all did. I ended up getting sick after the long week of being run down. I didn't want to do it, but I did want to see my teammates, and it was my opportunity. It was the only time that was mutual for all of our schedules. So getting to hang out with them and have a nice coffee in the morning after our workout out in the cold at some Catholic high school in Columbia was special to see them. And we talked about our teammates. We talked about the guys, that some of the guys that have passed, sadly, you know, and you know, prayers for them, of course, and their families. And we talked about, you know, who else is hanging. I got to see my buddy Greg Bracey. How ironic was it that I went to go visit Bracey before my speech on Monday, and Jay Ray had just visited him, and Jay Ray was coming in from out of town. And how ironic was it that that night I was speaking to business students, and Jay Ray was speaking to the Missouri Athletics Department for the career after sports, which I thought was, there's a lot of, both Jay Ray and I were kind of doing similar things at the same time. He knows Loretta, so it was really cool. And Loretta works with a guy named Connor, who came out to see me perform too, which was really awesome. I appreciated Connor Jordan's support. He made a nice post about me too on Twitter, saying that you know, it was the most unconventional night of comedy that he's ever seen, and at Harpo's, and that I killed it in the hardest room on the planet. So that was really cool of Connor to say that and to come out and support. And different people from the university came out to support me as well. Don't want to mention any names since it was a non-sanctioned event, so I don't mean to associate Loretta with that. She probably had no idea what she was getting into. I think she was just being a supportive Missouri Athletic person, and I was off the deep end on my ranting and screaming into the microphone. So nothing that I say is a reflection on her or anyone else associated with the university. That was me speaking simply for myself. I don't think anyone there knew what the fuck was going to come out of my mouth. So I just want to make sure that there's a barrier and a distance there. while showing great appreciation. I think that it's nice when people will support you no matter what, because of what you've achieved and things like that. Not, I shouldn't say no matter what. I know they wouldn't support me if I was harming people, but you know what I mean? Like, I felt the love. I felt the support. I appreciated it. And it was special. So, great to see my teammates. Talked to Chase Kaufman for a long time. He lives in KC. He wasn't able to make it to the show, but we had a great time catching up. Chase is always just a good soul. He's a good guy. He's got a good heart. He's a father. And I appreciate him. I appreciate all of these guys, you know? So, yeah. I gave some shout-outs there. Wanted to give a shout-out to my friend Kara. A couple of weeks back, I went to the air show here in Tampa at the MacDill Air Force Base. So that was my first time being on base. I live a couple minutes away from MacDill. Amazing. The Thunderbirds were the highlight for me. And also just Kara got me. She hooked up. She's in the Air Force. She showed me her office, walked me around, gave me the VIP access, met a bunch of people trying to put together a show at MacDill for our service members. Would love to do some stand-up for them. So we're talking about that maybe the next day. I'm almost done with the podcast, by the way, as you can probably see when you look at the thing. The next day was amazing too. I met a guy named Dylan Woods who works for Red Bull. He's like a promoter / kind of like multi-purpose fun guy who does events and gets people together. And anyway, Clooney was the DJ at Water when I was invited to join Dylan and his friends. Had a cabana, VIP, you know, bottle service. Fucking went crazy. Met a bunch of people, enjoyed the DJ. I love house music. I love the party. Dylan was kind enough to surprise me by getting a bottle and having the bottle service girls say on their card thing that they hooked up. It said, follow the droid on Instagram. So no, just so you guys know, my buddy did that, which is amazing. I didn't buy bottle service to self-promote. If you saw my Instagram, I was showing that. Shout out to Dylan Woods for being awesome and showing the love. It was very, very cool to be part of that. Such a fun day. So many beautiful girls. So many people having fun. Water is one of my favorite places to party on a nice day when you get some good music there. So Water, which is right on the water, it's part of the Godfrey Hotel. Hope to go back there another time or two before I leave town for the summer, if I leave town. I wanted to give a special shout out to Adolphus Owens, for 32 years working at, I think it's Ameren, if I'm saying that right. What I do know is that he's retiring and then he put in 32 years of work. And Adolphus is a good man. He's raised an outstanding family with, people that have a great heart. And he's the father of one of my teammates who's passed. Just want to, you know, recognize Adolphus for being a good dad. He's the father of Cedric Owens, who was one of my teammates in middle school and high school. Probably 6 years we played together. Cedric was shot. You know, he was killed due to gun violence in St. Louis. He was attending a vigil. Cedric was not part of a gang. He was not part of any activities that he shouldn't be a part of. He was a good kid with a good heart, a father, a son, a brother, a teammate. You know, sometimes, you know, God does things that we don't understand. You know, but his family is strong and they're making it through such a tragedy. But losing Cedric has been hard on all of us, and it obviously feels, from our perspective, it doesn't make sense and it's not fair. And, you know, how could someone innocent just be at the wrong place at the wrong time where they're doing the right thing by supporting someone else who, you know, lost their life due to gun violence? So I just want to send extra love and care to his family today and always. Sable, Jocelyn, Mrs. Owens, and Adolphus. Lexi Owens is Cedric's mom. I love your family. I love all of you. Thank you for letting me be a part of your family, and letting me spend time with you. And just a great job to Adolphus for being a good dad and putting his time, and cheers to an amazing retirement where you get to reap the fruits of your labor, right off into the sunset and enjoy life to the max, for the rest of your days here. Right. So I just want to say that to Adolphus, it's been a pleasure, getting to know you, and spend a little bit of time with you over the last few years. I think that is where I'll end the podcast today. I appreciate you guys, and God bless you. And thanks for following my journey, and let's keep this thing going. We got more in the tank for the future. I'm excited, I'm invigorated, and I feel like going, grabbing the world by the tail, pulling it down and putting it in my fucking pocket. That's how I feel right now. All right, you guys have a good week, and we'll talk soon. Thank you. Until next time. Blah, blah.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. By the way, am I the only one who's horny?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.